Welcome to the bonus episode of Help Hole, our dear beloved Patreons.
Dear beloved Patreons, we are gathered here today to discuss...
to talk about...
Sly.
Sylvester Stallone.
It's called Sly.
Sly.
It's called Sly.
Why did you ask me... Oh, you didn't ask me. What was the... You mentioned ages ago that you'd seen this documentary. It's called Sly. It's on Netflix. Did I say we should do it? And I don't remember the first thing I heard about
it. I think it was like before when we were still like in the idea phase for Help Hole, and we were first talking about what the bonus episodes could be. I think I was just like, well, I just watched this documentary on Sylvester Stallone called Sly, mm-hmm. and we could do things like that. We could do like documentaries where we saw, and I said like something about him that you thought was really funny, and you were like, yeah, we should do stuff like that. Yeah, you thought I was funny once.
What did you say? What was funny?
I don't really remember. It was something like I was saying, like, I think I said something that I'm going to talk about in this, which is like that maybe he's not maybe he's not smart enough to be self-conscious, and that really works in his favor. Like, I want to say before I say that, I really like the documentary. I really like hearing him talk, and I think it's really interesting and whatever, but I have like questions about how he is so not self-critical. Like, I'm like, are you like, what are you missing?
I'm gonna give a wild guess. Vagina. Uterus. A lifetime of being told that you should be more self-critical because you're a woman. I think that's what he's missing in terms of his self-criticism.
A big difference in our lives is that I surround myself with self-critical men. And so I happen to know. I am married to someone also missing that. And wow, I'll tell you what. He can self-criticize with the best of them.
I've never thought I'd have to compare Sylvester Stallone and your partner. But I feel like a little... a little white guy growing up in Denmark in the 90s.
Huge white guy. It's probably 6'4". Different than,
But like in terms
very
of
hot.
Sylvester Stallone,
big dick. Sorry,
no, he's probably. Oh Jesus!
I was like, I can't stop myself. I can't. Here it comes.
Jesus,
here it comes. I'm gonna say it. I was like, who is this for? Am I in the BBC? No, it's our Patreons. They can know.
Your mother's listening.
Hi, Mom. The first time Yoln and my mom talked on the phone, he asked her what she was wearing, and she like loved that. Like they were
that's
flirting
funny.
On the phone, and they thought that they both think that's so funny.
Okay.
Listen.
Sure. Okay.
We were 23.
Okay, well, sorry for calling your partner teeny tiny. But I just feel like everyone's teeny tiny compared to Sylvester Stallone, who's also, well, it's Italian, something like that, and grew up in like New York in Hell's Kitchen, and it was like rough and tumble and that kind of thing. And I just think compared to like a Danish brought up man.
You know Danish men to be really self-reflective, Sophie? Is that what?
Not self-reflective. Soft.
Soft.
Just soft. Soft. And
okay. All right. So we watched this movie to see how much my partner is like Sylvester Stallone. And the answer is some.
Some.
And that's the end of this episode.
Did you know anything about Sylvester Stallone before you watched the documentary?
No. So I think I had like, you know, it's interesting because I'm remembering as we speak, like it was sort of a similar cultural impression I had of Sylvester Stallone that I had of Dolly Parton that was like, one-dimensional, like, blah, 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 like, whatever, like, dumb guy. Like, that was my impression of Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, no, I got it. We all got it immediately. Like, that's a clat. Is he in the room with us? Was what we all was thinking when you did that.
And just, like, not much dumb. And I think, like, that isn't a completely wrong impression, but also like he is like what I learned from, and I also thought that Dolly Parton was dumb when I was growing up because of sexism and all these things, and she is really, really not dumb. But there is like something simple about both of them that I find really admirable, actually. And it does, like, bleed into, for Sylvester Stallone anyway, Dolly Parton, I think, is literally a genius in, like, every way you can think of being a genius. But for Sylvester Stallone, that simplicity sort of bleeds into, like, the area of simple that means stupid in a way, maybe. I don't know. It's like I'm curious about it. I'm curious to have a conversation about him because there's also part of that simplicity that I think is really wise. And it's really, I think it's, I don't know. It's a Venn diagram of feelings I have now.
Can I sidetrack us a little bit just to talk about Dolly Parton? have you seen all the stuff with Beyonce covering Jolene?
No.
Okay, so Beyonce has, I think, oh my God, I can't believe I'm explaining a popular culture thing because I don't know anything. From what I understand, Beyonce covered Jolene, but changed the lyrics to be like, Jolene, 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 something like, stay away from my man, like being really like, kind of like, don't touch my man, like being more like, putting Jolene down, it seemingly more like empowered. I feel like I should find the lyrics to this because I think it's important for this conversation.
Wait, I'm like on the edge of my seat though. I want to hear how, like,
okay.
Tell what happened. How did Dolly Parton respond?
Jolene, 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 I'm warning you, don't come for my man. Jolene, 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 don't take the chance because you think you can.
Okay.
You're beautiful beyond compare. That's the same. To come before.
Oh, right. No. And you.
You're beautiful beyond compare. Takes more than beauty and seductive stares to come between a family and a happy man. Jolene, I'm a woman too. The games you play are nothing new.
Oh, wow.
So don't want no heat with me, Jolene. We've been deep in love for 20 years. I raised that man. I raised his kids. I know my man better than he knows himself. Yeah, what? In parentheses. I can easily understand why you're attracted to my man, but you don't want this smoke, so shoot your shot with someone else.
Wow.
Never thought I'd. Jolene, I'm warning you, woman. I know I'm a queen. I'm still a...
Okay, we get it.
I don't know.
Tell me the story, please. Oh my God, anyways, I get it.
What are you talking? This is the story. So she did this. Yeah. And then a lot of people... You know my feelings around the song, Jolene.
Your feelings, right? Around...
I think it's incredible.
You like that it's a story that, like, talks to the other woman as, like, though they're a person and doesn't villainize them.
I love what I think is so powerful about Jolene, original version, is that it's so human, it's so vulnerable, it's so real, it's so, we've all been in that situation where you feel absolutely helpless and you know, I can't change the man, I can't make him not cheat on me, and I know that's shitty, I know I should leave, I know I should have more self-respect and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like on my knees at my last possible place I can be in this struggle, and I'm begging the other woman to please not fuck my... Like, oh, it's so real. And then there's something about... Because I think it comes from... Talking to the other woman like that is like, it comes from insecurity. So to be like, I'm warning you, don't take my man. I'm like, oh, that feels... Oh, I don't like that. It feels like you, but you're...
It feels like
you wouldn't say that if you weren't insecure.
It's a different song.
Yeah.
But what did Dolly say?
Oh, so Dolly just put out a statement being like, listen to the new Jolene version. Oh, she got something like, she got what she needed. Uh-huh. Like, it was like supportive of it. It was like,
okay.
Oh, I'm glad someone put Jolene in her place. Like, it was like fun and like light and supportive of Beyonce. That was great. Again, love Dolly Parton's PR skills.
Truly the whole time I was like, what did Dolly do? Did she? Okay, but she did the right thing. She was just...
But the story is how I feel about it.
I don't...
That's my feeling.
As much care about that story as I do. I am like waiting for with bated breath at all times for Dolly Parton to screw up. You know, like...
Oh, Dolly Parton was... No, she was fine. Everything was fine. That's fine. And like, I'm not like, you know, but I just feel like it's such a shame to take that song and make it into a powerful feminist anthem, because it already is, but it's powerful because we're seeing someone be truly vulnerable instead of being like, fuck you, don't fuck my man. It's like, no.
But it's never a shame when something like that happens. I mean, not never, but it's not a shame.
Oh, that's true.
When something like that happens because it makes people talk about this and notice the difference and like do the thing. Like, it's a different song. Like, the way that Beyonce did it is a different song. Yeah. And it makes more people look at the way that Dolly did it. And like the whole like gamut of reactions you can have. I don't know. I just think like, yes, I think it's a more interesting take, the one that Dolly did, because that's not the common narrative. And like sort of the common one is, back off. I'm going to, what's the, that one song? I'm going to like pop your tires. Do, 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 do. Like that's more like normal, I guess. But I just don't think,
yeah.
I think if Dolly doesn't have a problem with it, I certainly don't. Okay, Sophie?
I only have an emotional problem with it. I don't have a like in my heart it hurts, but I would never be like, I'm going to tweet to Beyonce and say, back off.
Boycott Beyonce. I haven't listened to the whole album yet, actually. And I do, I actually really like country music. And I really like the first song that you put out. But I just like don't, I stopped paying for my Spotify premium. So I know if I listen to it, it's going to be out of order. Or I guess I could do it on a different thing. But anyway, I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm pretty excited about it. Have you listened to the album? You don't care.
I've never listened to a single
song
Beyonce
ever.
Album ever. No, I don't listen to music. No, I'm not. I haven't listened. I'm not. I don't like the music that people like.
Okay.
And that, I know that sounds
what like, a take.
Like the other, I'm not like the other girls, but I'm just like, I'm so, I don't know what it is. I just like my music taste stopped in like 2005. And then there's like,
oh, right. You just like Westlife.
Very little life.
And that is actually, you're right.
I still listen
that
to
Westlife. That is not the people, the music people like. So yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
I really love being told by popular culture what to like, because I used to like resist it. And now I'm like, oh no, they're usually right. Like I'm just like, oh, this Doja Cat. I was like, what's this? And then I was like, great. It's great. The only thing I really don't, I feel like, I don't really like, I, when Taylor Swift is on, I'm not like, turn this off, but I don't like, it doesn't speak to me in any kind of way. There was like that, a couple of songs I've been like, oh, that's a fun one. But I don't really, I don't feel moved the way that people are moved. I don't understand the thing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. My liked playlist on Spotify is just a mix of the weirdest.
Yeah, we don't have to.
Like, they'll happily be
expect
like.
Expect you to get it.
An Eminem song from 2001. And then it goes into Pink Floyd. And then it goes into Seb Lowe, who's like a Manchester TikTok singer. And then it goes into some like Manic Street Preachers. And it's just a. I mean, I've now only mentioned men, so maybe that's the. Mm-hmm.
We got it.
But then I have like, oh, then it's like Celine Dion, and then it's like Meatloaf, and then it's some Britney. Love a Britney.
Okay.
Love a Christina Aguilera. Okay. Like, it's just a mix. And like Kelly Clarkson, big fan of Kelly Clarkson.
Okay.
It's just, but it's some songs. I know. Music is not where I'm strong.
This is not going to become a music podcast, I guess.
No, I don't.
That's not where we're going to go.
Did I tell you I was once fired? I was fired from a radio show because of my taste in music.
No, but honestly, good job.
And I'd even asked people, I'd like said to people, shit, I need to like play music on this radio show. Can someone tell me what music is cool? And then people were like, hey, what is it? And then people were telling me like, yeah, I played this and I was trying to do that. And they were like, yeah, this is bad.
If I had known this before, I would have taken more liberties with the help hole jingle. Like, I didn't realize like,
oh, you totally
you're like,
could have.
You like music blind, or like, that's not what you should say, probably. Yeah. That's probably exactly the wrong thing to say.
Tone deaf.
Yeah. Or
well,
like, you
that's
really
another thing,
just
isn't
don't
it?
Have.
That's when you can't sing.
Like, okay, great. That's really good to know. So I am definitely for sure in charge of the music in this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay, cool. I feel excited
happily.
About that.
I mean, I felt nothing when I heard the jingles from Nikki Elson who made
that's
them. Not that
really
like
messed up.
I was just like, I was like, I don't know if this is good. I like it, but that could be wrong. It could be good. I don't know. I'm going to let Abby deal with this.
My friend texted me yesterday, actually, and she was listening to the podcast for the first time. And she was like, two things. Number one, got through that whole episode thinking, do they really not know how Patreon is pronounced. Like, oh my gosh, do they have no friends? Like, oh my God, thank God you said it at the end. And I was like, yes.
Okay.
I am going to say it every time, and I'll say it just like that. Sophie thinks I shouldn't. Hi, Hank. Hank agrees with me.
He's hearing things outside. Yeah, that's what's happening.
And then the other note was, love the jingles. And I was like, see, this friend is really resolutely on my side.
Yeah, very nice friends.
Nice friends.
Very nice friends who will tell you exactly what you need to hear. Unlike Sylvester Stallone. I actually got a lot out of this documentary.
Great.
I think, personally.
Great.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it. In the beginning, I was like, oh, it's so boring. When you start a documentary and they're like, I was born, and I was like, oh, God. I don't care. It felt very American, the way it's like.
You love Americans. What you are you know talking
the
about?
The streets in New York were like this. And it's like, I really don't care about the streets in New York. But I don't know. First of all, what a beautiful man.
Aww.
I'd never thought of Sylvester Stallone as a handsome man.
Oh, beautiful, like physically beautiful. Really wants... Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's hot. He's very hot. Never thought of that before because he's always been a bit like a loaf of bread. It's like a very handsome loaf of bread. Isn't he? And his father... When he was young, whoosh.
Yeah. Also, he was a barber. I thought that was kind of cool. Like, he had like a...
He was a barber who became a salon, worked in like a women's...
Yeah,
hairdresser,
a salon. And then also, he was abusive and not a nice dad, I think.
Such a prick.
But also cool that he was a salon guy, I think.
It was very, very cool. Tell me what you thought. Tell me, what's the main thing you kind of went away with this from this documentary with?
Well, a lot of things. One thing I just think it was like, I feel like it's so generous when you see, when someone shows you a part of them they don't have to. And I think this documentary is him, like, really, like, he doesn't look cool in this documentary. I think Sylvester Stallone has spent a lot of his, like, life, like, looking cool. And in this, he's, like, he really tells you how much thought he put into Rocky and how he, like, was, like, well, what if he was a nice guy? And, like, he just, like, is honest and bumbling in a way that I find generous. And it's all – there's a similar thing, actually, I feel like when – And eager and earnest to talk about his thing that he made in a way that is almost tone deaf there, because it's like, oh my gosh, you think you're so great. His house is full of sculptures of him, artwork of Rocky. Like, it's like all, and he keeps talking about how he loves art, and all of the art is about his film that he made in his, and some of it is really cool. A lot of it is not to my taste. But like some of it is like really cool Rocky art, but like he has kind of like a museum in his home. And the whole movie, I don't really understand this whole thing. They try to frame it around him moving house. So they took a lot of footage of him like in the beginning.
Packing up his stuff.
And then at the end, he's like moving house. And they tried to like put this kind of metaphor around the movie, which I don't think was really necessary, but it was interesting to see like a giant Rocky statue get packed up and moved out of his house. But I think that as the metaphor for the thing, it didn't really work. But like, he's like listening to interviews he gave around the time when Rocky came out, and he's like yelling at the tape recorder. He's playing it on a tape recorder. He's like, it's a love story. It's a love story. He's like in person now.
I love that so much.
Yeah, it was really sweet.
I love him hearing himself his younger self was explaining what Rocky was about, one of his films. And it's like, well, it's about a man wanting to be a boxer, whatever. Yeah. And then he's going, say it's a love story. Say it.
Yeah.
I love that so much. And then someone else says to him, oh, he wasn't in a place where he could understand that it was a love story yet. Like the person you're listening to, which is you as a young man, doesn't understand yet that it was a love story. It doesn't want to say the word love story. I love that.
Yeah, it was really nice. And also, like, even just when I think he gives like really nice credit to other people in the movie. Like, I think that was a really cool thing to watch, him talking about, like, when he met the actress that played Adrian, like, that he understood, like, what she could be and, like, what she brought to it. He talks about his brother one time, and his brother's in it a lot. And he just says, like, it was really hard for him because my brother is a really creative, talented guy. And it was really a blow for him when I had this, like, big success. None of us were expecting it. And he just talks about his brother in this way that is not condescending about his success and, like, really full of respect. And it didn't feel like he was just saying that and that's the family line or something. It felt like they must have really dealt with that for a long time in their family and that they worked through it, and they just, like, had this, like, beautiful brotherly relationship that they were honest in, and I loved that. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I love, well, I mean, the main thing that I kind of, I guess, was surprised by and appreciated was the fact that the whole documentary is built around his dad being violently abusive, and they were just being very honest about it. Like, it was just like, in the beginning, they're like, oh, yeah, my dad beat us up and was, like, horrible. And at one point...